You're listening to the From the Hack Curling Podcast, part of the Curling News and Sports Illustrated Partnership. Hi, everyone. My name is Frank Rock, and welcome to the From the Hack Curling Podcast. On this episode, we chat with a newly minted Scotties champion, with an all-star alternate, and with a young curler who is fresh off representing Canada for the second time in 3 months. Hello everyone, thank you for joining me this week. Once again, my name is Frank Rock. My first guest this week is Tracy Fleury, fresh off winning her first career Scotties title with Team Holman when they defeated Team Jennifer Jones in the final of the 2024 Scotties in Calgary. So Tracy, winning the Scotties is something that most Canadian girls who curl dream of winning someday. What did it feel like when Jen Jones' last draw wrecked and you realized that you had just won your first Scotties?
Yeah, I think it was hard to believe at first. We were just really trying to stay in the moment and fight for every shot. And it was a really close battle. Could have gone either way. And I think it took a minute for it to sink in. But yeah, an incredible feeling to win the Scotties with this team and my first Scotties. And I've worked a long time towards this. So to finally do it was a dream come true, and to do it with amazing teammates who have been so supportive and who have really embraced me on this team and taught me a lot. It was really special. And we had a lot of family there cheering us on. So to do it with them watching was a really special moment.
So who was the first person you called or texted after the game?
We didn't really have much time to be on our phones. It was kind of like a whirlwind of just like hugs from our family who were here and some media stuff. And yeah, it was just very busy after. Yeah, but very exciting.
Team Holman went undefeated at the Scotties, Tracy. And for those of us watching on TV, it certainly looked like you had your quote unquote A game all week. However, the players on the ice sometimes feel like it's much more of a grind than the people watching on TV do. Did your week feel as solid and consistent as it looked, or did you have some stretches there that were more of a grind for the team?
I think we were pretty happy with how we were playing and our consistency, and everyone right up the lineup was making a lot of shots. So I think we were feeling confident, but we definitely came up against some teams that were shooting very well as well. So we had some really good battles out there, and some that came down right to the end, and some exciting back and forth games. And it was really good to get some practice in those tight game situations, because once you hit the playoffs, you know, you're going to have some close battles. So it was good to feel some of the nerves of a tight game. And yeah, all of our playoff games were super close too.
One of the things about Rachel over the years, Tracy, is that she has always seemed more comfortable hitting than drawing. Yet when she needed a draw in the 10th end of the 1-versus-2 game against Team Jones, she put one on the pin. Tell me about that shot and how important it was, not only because it kept you alive in a game you ultimately went on to win, but because it always helps when your skipper heads into a championship game fresh off making such a money draw.
Yeah, Rachel is phenomenal at hitting and drawing. She doesn't miss much in general. But yeah, this season, like, her draw weight has been very, very good. And there's some games where, like, she doesn't draw much, and then all of a sudden she needs to make that pressure draw in a moment where when we need it, and the draw weight's there. She has it, even though she hasn't thrown many, and that was one of them. Like, she hadn't drawn a whole lot, had to cover the pin, and made a phenomenal shot to get us into the extra end. And Sarah and Emma are so good at judging and sweeping rocks and putting them exactly where we need them. And they did that in that moment.
Now, the three other members of Team Holman had all played in multiple Scotties finals, Tracy. And to be fair, you've played in several big games in your career, including a trials final. But I'm wondering if any of them chatted with you following the 1-versus-2 game to share their thoughts on the experience of competing in a Scotties final and how the lead up to it, the Sunday, not playing all day, all of those things, if they helped you try to help you better navigate that day since it was going to be the first times you did it.
Yeah, we just really wanted to focus on like staying in the moment and focus on like what we've been doing and what we've been doing well. And yeah, great being able to draw on that experience of my teammates. They've been in so many high pressure games. And it's nice this season we've played in a ton of finals together. So we kind of knew what to expect from those, like all the Grand Slam finals. And I played in a trials finals. So being able to draw on that experience was helpful as well.
Tracy, Team Jones had played in the semifinal that afternoon, so they likely had a good idea of what the ice was like, although it always changes a little from draw to draw. How long did it take for you and Team Homan to get comfortable with the ice in the championship final?
Well, we definitely watched the game on TV because that was important to us to see, make sure we knew what the ice was doing. So we were watching and listening, and that's helpful. I do think the ice was maybe moving a little bit more than it had been in our 1-2 game, so we were able to pick up on that from the TV broadcast. So we kind of knew when we went out there for the final what to expect. And Rachel is just such a phenomenal ice reader, and Emma and Sarah are so good at judging rocks, so they were able to get a good handle on the ice rate from the start.
For those of us watching on TV, Tracy, it certainly felt like your team should have had a bigger lead in the championship final, and sometimes that can burn a team. Were you getting a little concerned about the fact that you'd not been able to convert with the hammer and that the game was probably tighter than it should have been heading into the second half of the championship final?
It is always a battle against Jen's team. I mean, she's a phenomenal strategist, and she knows how to call shots for her team's strengths, and knows how to keep games close and put a lot of pressure on. She plays with a ton of rocks in play. So it was just going to be one of those games that was just close. And all three games that we played them at the Scotties were these really exciting games, lots of rocks in play. Anything could happen, and really fun games to play.
Now, obviously, Tracy, what you will always remember the most about the 2024 Scotties final is that you won your first Scotties, and understandably so. That said, you also happen to be on the ice for Jen Jones' last Scotties game. Have you had any time to reflect on that and what Jen has meant to not only the Scotties, but the sport of curling in Canada and around the world, specifically for the women's game?
Yeah, such an amazing career she's had. I remember growing up through juniors, watching her play on TV, and she had so much success, and then getting to play her many times at the Scotties. It seems like every Scotties I was at, she was there. She was a contender, and definitely learned a lot from watching her over the years. She set the bar high, and like I said, just such a good strategist, and she just knows her angles so well, and knows where to put rocks, and it's just a lot of fun to play against her. I really enjoy those tight battles with lots of rocks in play. And yeah, it was pretty special to be there for her last game.
And finally, Tracy, it's off to Sydney for the World Championships for you and the remainder of Team Homan. Tell me how excited you are about repping the Maple Leaf in front of a home crowd in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I can't wait to wear that Maple Leaf. I've waited a long time, and just really proud of this team and how hard we've worked this season. We put in a lot of work, and getting better all the time. And yeah, to play in Canada will be really cool to be the home team. And it's been a great season, so hopefully we can draw on that success and have a good week representing Canada.
My next guest is Kristen Karwacki, who, quite unexpectedly, became one of the better stories of the 2024 Scotties, going from alternate to first-team All-Star when she stepped in for Team Anderson after their usual lead, Brianne Harris, was deemed ineligible to compete in this year's Scotties. And Kristen, I want to start by providing the audience a little bit of context before moving on with this interview. What would have been your day-to-day role if this had been a regular year for you as the alternate for Team Anderson at the Scotties? I know the broadcasters joke a lot about making snacks, but I'm interested in knowing what your role would have been as the alternate if things would have been normal, and you can't see my air quotes here, but normal. Are you matching rocks, perhaps keeping stats? What else do you do for the team in a regular Scotties when you're serving as the alternate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so before games, obviously we would have a team meeting. So I would be part of that along with Coach Reed, who is my brother-in-law. So I would be part of that. Then we would head out to the game. I would scout rocks for them and generally just observe the game, watch the strategy, watch how the game is going, chat with Reed about that. And then after we would do a post-game meeting, which I would be part of that as well. Changing the broom heads and, yeah, matching rocks and taking care of any food orders as well.
Now, I want to take you back to the first Friday of the Scotties, Kristen. When did you first get a sense that something was wrong? And how long did it take for you to get word from Reed or Carey that you should zone in and get ready to play in that Friday evening game versus Quebec?
Yeah, so I found out on Friday just like everybody else did. And I knew that night that we were going to be playing a game. And I found out pretty quickly that I was going to be in that game. And I think as an alternate, I obviously wasn't expecting to play a full game. You always kind of hope that you can slide in a couple ends if the team is up and winning. But yeah, as soon as I found out that, my mindset just quickly changed to what can I do to make this transition as smooth as possible. Brianne's obviously a really talented player. She has a huge role in that team and making that team excellent as they are. So yeah, my focus just transitioned to what can I do to help this team win and just trying to make my shots and sweeping my heart out for them.
So how did you go about switching gears from whatever was on your plate as a quote-unquote alternate to getting yourself ready to compete unexpectedly in a game against a pretty good team in Quebec?
Yeah, I mean, we played Quebec that night, so obviously they're a very strong team, and we were expecting a very good game against them. I think my experience in being a lead myself on my own regular team was helpful with that. It's that position isn't new to me, which was very helpful. And I think the girls' mindset as well was very helpful. Everybody just really focused on the task at hand and focused what we needed to do to just win that game. We had a really solid team meeting before that game, and Reed had some really good input into just staying mentally tough and going out there and just focusing on what we needed to do. So I think all those things were really helpful too.
Now, Kristen, did you have a sense that you'd be playing the whole event from the outset, or was it a wait-and-see kind of thing over the first day or two?
I think I had a pretty good idea once things were happening, but that being said, I was really just taking it day by day and one game at a time kind of thing.
Now, when you got on the ice for the pregame warm-up before that first game, Kristen, did you take a few deep breaths and look around and allow yourself to soak in the moment a little bit before getting down to business?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, playing in a Scotties is extremely special. So there was definitely a few nerves going into that game for sure. But yeah, like you said, I took a deep breath, looked around, looked at the crowd and just kind of soaked in the moment for what it was and just tried to enjoy it as much as I could too.
Now, I know that you're familiar with Team Anderson, Chris, and having been around them so much. However, you did play as a full-time lead on a team out of Saskatchewan this season, reaching the provincial final there. Did you try and adapt immediately to the style and the type of communication that Team Anderson prefers during games? Or did you find yourself leaning on how you do it with your regular team and then try to figure out the way that Team Anderson prefers to communicate and to talk in between stones as you kind of worked your way through the week?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. They're obviously a very talented team, and I've been with them the past three seasons as the alternate. So anything that I learn with them, I try to bring back to my own team to kind of use. And then, yeah, we definitely did have some chats before games and even just during games or throughout the week. And the girls are really great about giving me different tips along the way about ways that they do things. And so they were really helpful with that. So I'd say it was a mix of both.
Team Anderson had a solid week in Calgary, Kristen, losing only once in a round robin. However, is it fair to say that after everything the team had been through that week, that the tank may have been a little bit more empty than it typically is come playoff weekend, which is traditionally when Team Anderson has really turned it on at the Scotties?
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a reason to point fingers at a specific situation. I think we had a really good game against Kate Cameron's team in our last game there, and it definitely could have gone either way. But yeah, I mean, things just didn't work out that way for us, and that's okay. And you know, you're going to have a few losses every now and then. And we did have a really solid week, and just unfortunately the loss came at the wrong time for us. But yeah, I wouldn't say that it's because of a specific situation or fatigue here and there.
Now, despite everything going on and being thrust into a role that you did not expect to play at the Scotties, Kristen, you killed it all week in Calgary, playing better than most people would have given the same circumstances. How proud were you of not only having been able to step up and play very well, but also being named a first-team All-Star at the Scotties?
I'm very thankful to the girls for giving me this opportunity to be their alternate again. Every time I'm with them, I learn so much. And yeah, to have that kind of week and walk away with, you know, an all-star award, like something that I absolutely wasn't expecting at the beginning of everything. Yeah, very proud of how things worked out and how, yeah, just how everybody battled during the week. It was difficult. There was adversity and everybody really stepped up in general, for sure.
And finally, Kristen, I've had all four members of Team Anderson on the podcast before, and like most curlers, they tend to deflect and say that the only reason they are good is because of the players that surround them on the team. You've been around Team Anderson for the better part of their run as four-time Scotties champs. What makes them such a special team?
Yeah, I think they're all well-rounded players in general. They really commit to their roles. They work really, really hard on the ice and off the ice. Their mental game is extremely strong. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to find a negative thing to say about them. They're four very talented players who have the same goal. And I think that's kind of what you need at the end of the day, is four people who want the same thing and are willing to put aside anything else that's not going to help them along the way.
Last but certainly not least, I am joined by Myla Plett, who is quickly becoming a From the Hack regular. Myla and her team are just back from the World Juniors in Finland, where they qualified Canada for the 2025 World Juniors, finishing fourth in a deep and talented field. So Myla, your team competed in the same venue during the World B Division Championships in December than you did at the World Juniors that you just completed. How much did being familiar with the venue, the city, etc., help you feel more comfortable at the World Juniors than you might have been if you'd been playing in a different venue?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's always great to go back to a facility that you've already played in, just being comfortable with the ice makers there, and just kind of like being a bit more relaxed and not as like, wow, this is such a crazy place to be at. So just having been there already at Worlds B was such a great opportunity for us. Additionally to that, I think it was super great that we kind of knew like the food that was going to be there. Yeah, the girls needed a little bit extra, so we had the parents close by. They had houses close that they could always make us food in. So the girls were always really nourished and ready to go sweep hard at the World Day.
So Myla, I gotta ask, did you blow up any more electric blankets in Finland this time around?
No, we learned from that from last time that probably not the best idea to bring electric blankets. But no, we burnt a curling iron this time.
Myla, you won your second game of the round robin versus Sweden in an extra, and you did not know it at the time, but that win propelled you into the playoffs because you finished tied with Sweden and got into the playoffs because of that head-to-head victory. I'm curious, is there a stats or a standings nerd on your team that keeps track of who beats who and how things might shake out during an event, or is the focus strictly on playing the games and letting the chips fall where they may?
Well, yeah, I think everybody, you know, you try to figure out, okay, if this person beats this person, then we have a better opportunity. But as the week goes on, you know, your brain gets a little bit more fried. You're like mentally exhausted. So it just becomes a lot. Usually we get our coaches to explain a bit to us, but obviously they want us to focus on the game as much as we can. But yeah, we didn't even know that we had qualified for playoffs after our last game. Until like we went upstairs and the parents started cheering. We're like, what? So, you know, I think it was a really, really cool opportunity though, to just be able to see all the parents excited for us. And we had no idea what was going on. So
in the final game of the round robin, Myla, you had the eventual champions from Switzerland on the ropes, but they managed to defeat you with a couple of late steals. Now, some people listening to the podcast might not realize that the Swiss team that competed at the World Juniors, Team Schwaller, is actually ranked 12th in the world, which ranks them ahead of 14 of the 18 teams that competed in the Scotties. Now, heading into the World Juniors, the Swiss team had played over 60 games in women's events, including several in Canada, and they'd played 24 games against teams ranked in the top 30. And in your case, you'd played two games against teams in the top 30. And one of the things you learn when you play against the top teams all the time, at least this is what I've been told by players who've competed at the elite level, and when they were on their way up, the way they learned was by playing against some of the top teams, and those top teams, when they're behind late, they get aggressive, and they try to put pressure on the other team. Is it fair to say that that's what happened in the late ends of your game in the round robin against the Swiss? They put a lot of rocks in play and put a lot of pressure on you, which led to some small mistakes and cost you a couple of steals?
Yeah, for sure. Like, playing them, obviously, I didn't know that they were ranked 12th in the world until after the game, but they're really advanced girls, really know the game quite well, very strong hitters, very tough to play against. But yeah, we capitalized off of them making a few mistakes in the fourth end, I believe it was. So we got a four-ender against them, and that was, really great to get that step up on them. And then later in the game, they definitely were like, okay, yeah, we got to start putting some pressure on them. So, yeah, they made me throw quite a few hard shots, run backs and doubles and stuff. So, yeah, they played really well in the last half of the game. And it was just hard for our team to pull back from that.
You ended up playing the Swiss a second consecutive time in the semifinals, Myla, and lost another tight game to them. It had been a long week. You'd played many tough teams, and the bronze medal games are always difficult to play. How would you summarize your loss to Norway in the bronze medal game?
Yeah, for sure. A loss like that against Switzerland, it's kind of tough. Like, all the fans are cheering upstairs for the other team, and it's just a little bit heartbreaking to go into your next game just having lost such a big, important game like that. So, but obviously, like, the Swiss played really well in that game, and they played, like, high 80s that whole game. So, but yeah, we went into the Norway game, like, just really hoping for a win, but the girls played really well, and, we tried to match it, but obviously we just came off of a pretty tough loss against the team that won the whole event. So, yeah, I think if we got matched up against them again, we could definitely, give them a good run again, but yeah, they played really well in the bronze medal.
As I mentioned earlier, Myla, they feel that the World Juniors this year on the women's side was absolutely stacked, including four teams that are ranked in the top 50 in the World Women's Rankings. Now, given all that, how proud are you of your team for not only having qualified Canada for the 2025 World Juniors, but also playing well enough to get into the playoffs and to get a shot at the podium and finishing fourth in a very difficult competition?
Yeah, for sure. The girls played really well. They're always giving me like pretty easy shots for quite a few of those games. So yeah, they played really well, and they were super strong throughout the week, going up those stairs in the hotel every night, I was getting to them just quite sore, their muscles were aching, but they kept pushing through. That was a lot of games for them, just to be sweeping, pounding those rocks over for like so many ends, 10 end games, those are a lot. So I'm really proud of my team, really proud of how we represented Canada. And I'm happy that we are able to qualify Canada again for World Day. And, I think we represented Canada quite well, and I hope we can get that experience again.
Well, wait a minute, Myla. Was there not an elevator in the hotel where you stayed?
That's actually a funny story. So, we get into this place, and I guess Finland, they don't really have large elevators, so you can fit about three people in an elevator at a time, and it's quite slow. So we've just kind of decided, we were on the third floor, and we just decided, we'll trek up these stairs, and every day we would go up, and it would get slower and slower going up the stairs.
It appears that there's no rest for the weary in your case, Myla. Can you share where the team is headed to next?
Yeah, so our team actually has to go to U20 Provincials about 7 days here. So the quick recovery and heading back out there in Drayton Valley pretty soon. So, yeah, we're super excited to get back out onto the Alberta ice. But Obviously hoping to qualify for nationals again pretty soon.
And finally, Myla, I know that there's a bunch of school teachers / curlers who listen to the podcast, and I'm sure they're wondering how the team is managing with their school, given that you're just back from 10 days in Finland and headed to provincials next week.
I'm actually not in school, so I've been pretty chill, you know. but the girls, you can see them working hard every day. Always got their books out, always... we'd go to the parents' house and they'd just open their books and get right to it. I know Allie had an exam while she was in Finland during one of our breaks between games. So, it's just a lot of work for them, but obviously they're keeping up with their studies and the teachers are helping them out with that.
And that does it for this week's show. A huge thank you to Tracy, Kristen, and Myla for joining me. Also, don't forget to check out our partners and friends in the Curling Podcast Network, the Two Girls in the Game Podcast, the Rock Logic Podcast, and the Curling Legends Podcast. I'm Frank Rock, and you're listening to the From the Hack Curling Podcast, part of the Curling News and Sports Illustrated Partnership.